Hello and welcome to a Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time. It is no accident that you're here today, friend, and welcome back to all you regular listeners. I am so thankful that you are here. I want you to know that I pray for all of you regularly, that the Lord would draw you closer to Him and give you more of a desire to know Him. We talked yesterday about drawing near to God and that He'll draw near to us, but really He's the one that does all the drawing, but He gives us that desire through His Holy Spirit to come closer to Him, and I pray that He will give that to you and that you won't quench the Spirit. When He draws, go toward Him, friends. And I want you to know that I continue to pray for that. I pray that you'll have a hunger and thirst for His Word and for time with Him, and that you will be transformed, and that you'll want to share what you're learning, friends. Oh, we should want to share this good news. We know the author of life, and He has made a way for us to have life eternal. And why would we not want to share that with the world? And so I want to encourage you to consider sharing this podcast with friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone you think may receive a blessing from it, and know that I love to hear from you. So if you feel so led, send me a message sometime. You can find my email down in the show notes. It's awordforthisday@gmail.com. I want to tell you that this is the 100th episode of this third season that we're in. So I believe it's like since I started the podcast, it's about episode 830, getting close to 1,000. We're going to have some kind of a celebration then. But that 100 mark is always a little bit of a milestone each year. And so I thank God for that. It's all Him. There is no way I could have kept doing this day after day. It is all Him, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that He gives me this desire to share. I love talking about God's Word. I love all the words and all the verses, and I'm reminded of what we read in Psalm 107. And, you know, because I work in the medical profession and I take care of folks with diseases and illnesses and all day long, and also because I see brokenness all day long, and I see that in where I work, I see that in the world, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes that brokenness is because people have gone far away from God, and they're just living in a way contrary to the way that He has set things up. Sometimes it may be that people are living in a way that honors God, but because we live in a fallen world and there's sin in the world, they are broken and have difficulties. Sometimes we don't know why it is, because it could be like Job and there were things going on in the heavenlies, but we do know that God gets the glory if we honor Him. And for Christians, even in the most difficult, the most tragic things, He will walk through those with us, and He's sanctifying us, and He's purifying us, and He does the healing. But I want you to hear this in Psalm 107. Let me hop over there. God's Word, He sends out His Word. It heals us, it sanctifies us, it washes us, and I'm so thankful. And listen to this, and you're going to notice, because I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, and I talked about that a little bit yesterday. In this version, they go back to the original, and in the Old Testament, when the Hebrew writers wrote Yahweh, which is the covenant name for God, those translators of the Legacy Standard Bible are putting that there. There are some parts in our translations where it says God, and it was translated Elohim, but when it was directly referring and was written by the Hebrew writers as Yahweh, that covenant name that God gave Moses in Exodus chapter chapter 3, they put Yahweh, and actually Yahweh is used over 6,800 times in the original Hebrew text. And so it has been just so neat for me to see this, because when you see Yahweh instead of God, even though it's the same person, it makes you think of that covenant relationship, that relationship that he has agreed, not of because of any goodness on ourselves, but because he loves us, to be our caretaker, our provider, our protector, our deliverer. He forgives us. He loves us so. And listen to this in Psalm 107, verse 19. Then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and provided them escape from their destructions. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness and for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and recount his works with joyful singing. I love that. He sends out his word and he heals them. He heals us. And it may not be a physical healing that we can see, but he makes us whole and complete in him. And so it's a spiritual healing, which is so much more important, because this life is temporary, friends. But there's an eternity. And so he has been so gracious to us. Well, our verse for the day, for the ninth day of April 2024, comes from Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. And it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. It reads as follows. But now, having known God, or rather having been known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you want to be enslaved all over again? Oh dear, what was Paul talking about? He was speaking a hard truth to these believers at Galatia. He was calling out their walk. He was calling out how they had turned and how they had believed a false gospel. And so let's back up here. Let's get our bearings straight. Let's see what was going on there. That will help us to understand what Paul was saying. And oh, can we not apply this? We're going to see how we apply this to our lives today. Because do we walk as one who has been forgiven, as one who has been set free from the bondage of sin? Or do we go back under that sin and walk in the ways of the world, whether it's to please our own sinful desires or because we are believing the lies of the world and the lies of the devil that we can't change, or we think it's not that big of a deal because we're not standing on the truth that's in God's word? I'm excited for us to see what we can learn here. So we are in this letter to the Galatians. We know that it is one of Paul's letters. It's in the New Testament. And I've told you before, I like to think about that organization, whether we're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, but how each of those testaments are organized. And that helps us to be able to remember where to look when we're getting ready to look something up. So we know that the New Testament begins with the four Gospels, then it moves to New Testament history, which is the book of Acts, then it moves into Paul's letters, and then it moves into the general letters written by men who are not Paul, and then it moves into New Testament prophecy, which is the book of Revelation. So it's a very simple or straightforward, I should say, way that the letters and books are organized. We know that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians because it says Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So we see that Paul tells us, he gives us his credentials here. He does that in his letters, and I'm so thankful. And he wrote 13 of the 27 letters that we have in the New Testament. But he tells us he's an apostle, and that apostle means that he was appointed directly to be a messenger. And so we read in the Gospels that Jesus chose from his disciples 12 men whom he called apostles. And those men, though, they walked directly with him during his earthly ministry. Those are the 12 apostles. Paul came after the fact, but he was still called by the Lord Jesus, but it was after Jesus was resurrected. Paul started out as an opponent of the gospel. He describes himself as a persecutor, a blasphemer, and an insolent opponent. He was a Pharisee. He was a very zealous Jew. He thought he had it all figured out. He was supposed to be schooled and know all about that Old Testament law. And he, along with many of his fellow Pharisees, thought Jesus was a blasphemer. Jesus explained that he was equal with God. He was sent from God, and they just could not wrap their minds around this. And many sought to kill him. And then after he was crucified and died and was resurrected and had been seen by many, and so many others were believing him, they sought to kill those who were following him and to silence them. And Paul was in that group. But the Lord Jesus graciously met him on the Damascus Road. And you can read about that in Acts chapters 9, 22 and 26. And forever that meeting changed the course of Paul's life. And God used him mightily to share the truth of the gospel. Well, after Paul was converted, he went away to Arabia for about 3 years. We read in the book of Galatians later in this letter, And then he came back and started on his missionary journeys. And he went to this region of Galatia. And that's where it talks about the churches of Galatia. This is one of Paul's only letters where he talks more to several churches instead of just one. You know, some of Paul's letters are to individuals, some are to just certain groups of believers. But this was to several churches in this region. And you can read about that, I believe, in Acts chapters 12 through about 15. So there was Lystra and Derbe and Pisidian Antioch and Iconium and some of those areas around in there. And Paul had been there. He spent time with them, but then later heard that they had turned away to a false gospel, that they were believing something different than what he had given to them. And he's saying, I did not receive my apostleship, nor did I receive this gospel from men. This came directly from the Lord. And so he speaks very strongly to them. This is the only letter of his that doesn't have a commendation or an attaboy. Like, you guys are doing a great job with this, like he does in some of his other letters. No, he comes out with both barrels, and he just lets them have it. But it wasn't because he was thinking more highly of himself than he ought, or because he was being acting like the old Pharisee way, saying, you all are just not right. It was because he cared so much for them. He knew this gospel was true. He knew what Jesus had done. He saw the change that it had made in his life. And he wanted them to know the truth, because he knew it was a matter of eternal life and eternal death. And so he's coming out with both barrels. And we see that here in Galatians 1:6. He says, I marvel that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to the gospel we have proclaimed to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is proclaiming to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a slave of Christ. And remember, we've talked about that word slave, which comes, is translated from the Greek word doulos, which is it's like a bond servant. It's someone who is without any ownership rights of their own. But it talks about believers who willingly live under the authority of Christ, because we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And it was the price of Jesus's blood. And, you know, that word slave has a negative connotation, especially today in our culture and because of the history of our country and the terrible things that are going on around the world. But that original meaning, that original word, was someone who just submitted fully, who, you know, a servant could kind of go about and do their own thing. You don't have to keep serving. But a slave, oh no, it's willingly that we submit all of ourselves. We surrender all to the will of the one of our Lord. And so I love that description that Paul gives here. And so I'm excited for us to park here and see what all we can learn today and what we can apply. Now, we've talked about this before when we've been in the letter to the Galatians, but one of the things that had happened, what had happened with these false teachers, is it was a group called the Judaizers who had come in, and they were saying, yeah, you can believe in Jesus, but to really be right with God, you still have to follow all the rules that are in the Old Testament law. And you have to follow the festivals, you have to follow the dietary restrictions, you have to follow the covenant of circumcision, all these things, and then you can believe in Jesus and all will be well. Well, Paul was saying, no, we are no longer under the law. There was a purpose for that law, and the law was meant, God put it in place at a certain time for a certain purpose, and it was to show us our sin. It was to show us our need for a Savior. When we look over in Romans chapter 7, Paul told those believers at Rome in 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. Rather, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would have not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. And so the law had a definite purpose. And it was not a bad thing, but it was something that was behind us now, or behind them now, because of what Jesus had done. Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. And Paul had made that clear to them when he had preached the gospel to them, that all of us are sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. Jesus came fulfilling all the law and the prophets, and the law and what happened with the Israelites and the chosen people of Israel served to be an example of what were the true heavenly things. So Jesus was that once for all sacrifice. It wasn't like what there was in the law where the priest had to offer sacrifices over and over and over again. No, Jesus offered his perfect self, spilled his blood. He was that spotless lamb who died for us. He died one time for all sinners on the cross, and he was placed in a tomb, and then he was resurrected on that third day. He was seen by many, and then he ascended back to heaven. That was witnessed, and he's coming again. He had preached that gospel to them. And so it frustrated him so that they had gone backwards. They were going back to being slaves to the law because they were believing those false teachers. And so he had spent a lot of time in chapter 3 talking about that and talking about how the law is our guardian or our custodian. But we who are believers are heirs to this promise. We have an inheritance. And so I want to pick up in the beginning of chapter 4 and read forward to our verse for the day, and then we'll park there for just another couple of minutes. It says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. However, at that time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. And here's our verse for the day. But now, having known God, or rather having been known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you want to be enslaved all over again? Do you see his point to them? He's like, why are you turning back? You have been set free. You are an heir. You are a child of God. And why are you going back under that bondage of the law? And again, he's not saying that God's law was bad or sinful, but he's saying God has brought us past that since Jesus. We are now after the cross. And he was just talking very strongly to them. Even at the beginning of chapter 3, he used these words, O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? He's like, what are you thinking, folks? Don't go back to that. Don't be enslaved. And then over in chapter 5, he says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, stand firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. That slavery that he's talking about is being bound to these rules and regulations and thinking that your salvation and your righteousness is based on works or based on following a certain set of rules. No, our righteousness, our justification being seen just as if we had never sinned, comes by faith in Jesus. It's by faith alone. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of works so that no one can boast. It's not of your own doings. It is a gift of God. Grace is a gift, and it has always ever been through faith. It was through faith with Abraham. When Abraham was given the promise, there was no law yet, but Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so that's what Paul is saying. So now, having known God, or rather having been known by him, because he knows us first, you know, he draws us to himself. But now that you know this, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you want to be enslaved all over again? And I think he would say the same to us. You know, don't go backwards. Don't follow what the world says, because they think you can't get anything by grace. You know, the world says surely no one would give you something for free. You have to work for it. Or the devil in the world would say, you've got to clean yourself up before you can come to God. You have to do all the work, and then you're good enough to know God. No, that's not it. We come to him, broken sinners, dirty sinners, wretched sinners who are poor, pitiable, blind, and naked, and he clothes us. He clothes us in his righteousness. He gives us all that we need. And so I think that's a good lesson, especially, you know, there are many denominations and false religions that are performance-based, that say you have to do this, this, and this to be right. And it all, the scripture says, it's all on faith. We trust, we believe what he has done for us, and then we deny ourselves and we follow him. And he takes care of everything. And so we can walk in liberty. Now, do we walk in liberty so that we can keep on sinning? No. But some do that. Some say, oh, I know I can ask for forgiveness, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. No, may it never be. because we don't want to profane the blood of the covenant. We don't want to trample on what God has done for us through Jesus, what Jesus has done through us in pouring out his life. No, if he has made us new, if we are saved, then we should want to pour out our things and walk in following him with all our hearts and soul and mind and strength, and because we know what he has done for us. And so this admonition from Paul in this verse is just like, get a grip, guys. Realize what God has done. And don't go back to that old way. But now, having known God, or rather having been known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you want to be enslaved all over again? He has so much for us, and his ways and his will are the best. And so may we follow him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength for his glory. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.